us on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age, it's quite the ride, finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind, funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday, making paths along the way. Middle age.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 104 of the Tim and Trav podcast. I'm Trav. That's Tim.
That's correct.
Say hi, Tim. This is an audio podcast. Tim, you got to talk.
Oh.
We're off to a great
thumbs up
start.
Doesn't work.
All right. Oh, man. So today we have a great guest segment in Brian Hathaway, who will talk more about his career and that topic and some other things that he's got going on, which is awesome. Brian is one of us in that he's in his midlife and he's made some transitions and with great success. So he offers some really cool insights that I think you guys will appreciate. I think we should just jump right in. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. I think we have to jump right in.
Okay, cool. So first up, I noticed you've got a little bit of a length on the top there. You got any hair care or product reviews?
Is it coming in a little bit? That's great. I'm not using any new products. I don't think I've consumed anything new that would maybe be contributing to that. So nothing really to talk about there. How about yourself?
You know what's crazy? I just shaved my head. I'd use like a buzz thing. I don't go full blade. And I actually used some of my wife's conditioner after I shaved my head. I should do that more often. It's very nice. I normally don't. I mean, I just use body wash because I'm the same length all over. So it's like, whatever. But yeah. I might continue to do that. It made my head very soft.
That's so interesting. I wonder if you could just put like moisture lotion on your head once you're dry.
Well,
and it would
that.
Accomplish the same thing. Oh.
I do that, but it just like it's like, you know, dumb guy hand cream. I probably shouldn't do that. But anyway,
that seems like
all right,
you're,
so there's our product
you're using a lot of you're using a lot of beauty products, Trav. I'm concerned about
hey,
you.
Hey. It costs a lot of money to look this cheap.
Fair enough. All right, let's move.
All right. Do we have any listener comments? We should probably get into that.
Man, my mom wrote another comment, which was really nice. It had something to do with a gorilla suit that I bought in college. She claims that she paid for it, which is probably true. I've been arguing it, however, for the past 20 plus years, and she wants the suit back. This is a really long and complicated story that I'm not going to get into right now. Why she wants the gorilla suit back, I don't know, because I gave it to someone else when I graduated. So let's just put that on the table and we'll pick it back up at another time.
All right, cool. She definitely does not want that gorilla suit back, I promise. She may think she does.
Let's just leave it on the table. The gentleman I gave it to is a good friend of mine. He now lives in Germany, so I have no idea where that thing is. So we'll talk more about that at another point. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Right. Do you have an awesome wife moment you'd like to talk about?
I do, yeah. I just real quickly, a shout out to my wife. I was very honored. I was asked to speak at our Unity event in town, which occurred actually just recently this week in our town. And it was a really wonderful event, you know, really great group of people coming together just to celebrate the town's diversity and all the wonderful things that go into that. I was a little anxious about the experience, the opportunity to speak, but my wife was just incredibly supportive through the process. And, you know, at the end of the night, just said, I'm really proud of you. And I was really touched by that and so grateful just to have an awesome partner in my life. So how about yourself?
That's awesome. I don't mean to be contrasting in the sense that your wife was there, but my wife travels a lot for work. I'm assuming not to get away from me, but to go do awesome things for her nonprofit that she works for. Maybe it's a double whammy. Maybe it's both. But I have to say, you know, everybody always talks about when a spouse travels, be it for work or whatever, it's like, well, who's actually, you know, getting the respite from the daily craziness of just being the adult in the room or the parent in the room for young kids? And I don't know that any one of them is easier than the other, to be honest with you. And, you know, she made a cross-country flight and then just got up at the butt crack of dawn to come back from California to Ohio to make sure that she was there to see our son, who got to do a fun thing at a local Frontier League baseball. Like, he got to sing or be on the field for warmups and stuff like that. And she is such a dedicated mom in so many ways, but that was a really, like, almost simple way to point out, like, this woman goes to the ends of the earth for her family. And it's not something that I probably would have done and still been awake. She just, you know, she literally got off the plane and came right to the stadium and, like, and made it. And it was, you know, she got to see Elliot do all the things and it was great. And, you know, obviously the kids jumped on her like Velcro because they've been with dad for most of the week, but
she just took it in stride.
It probably was. She took it in stride and just, you know, never complained once. And, you know, I constantly admire her tenacity and her stamina to be the mom that she is.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story. If that were you coming back from California, you probably would have got on the wrong plane.
Probably. Yeah. I probably would have gone east or, you know, further west rather than east. How about something awesome you've read, seen, experienced recently?
Yeah, so I just have to give a plug for this. It's not necessarily recent, but I love my Dyson vacuum. I don't know if... What? I'm serious. I have two,
I don't know.
Actually.
I just did not expect you to say a vacuum cleaner. This is the content that people have signed up for. Thank God this is free.
Jeez. I'm not... Wait, people don't pay for this? I thought we were making money off of this. All right, look, I have the handheld, the battery operated. I normally go to the battery operated. It comes right off the wall. It's a beautiful product. I mean, I'm with it every day. The plug-in is also great. It's a little bit more clunky. It's, you know, when you need to kind of utilize the tools and stuff. But the end of the bottom line for me is this thing just cleans. Like, Dyson made an amazing product that makes you want to vacuum, and having the canister where you can see what you've collected was brilliant. So, you know, I love, you know, just following my progress, emptying it into the garbage bin. It makes me happy, and I would highly recommend people purchase this if they don't already have it. One of the greatest things in my life. Your turn.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I should probably get one of those because I don't really love vacuuming.
Wow.
My awesome moment or experience actually was the same thing that I was referencing earlier with my awesome wife moment was, we went to, there's a group here. There's a team here called the Lake Erie Crushers, and they are a Frontier League baseball team. And if you're not familiar, basically what Frontier League baseball is it's kind of like before the minor leagues of baseball. So it's not quite single A or double A or triple A. It's Frontier League, and it's loosely affiliated with the major leagues. And these guys really do it for the love of the game. They stay with other, if they're not from the area, they stay with families in the area, kind of like an exchange student would. And it is a grind. It is like, you know, you really truly do it for the passion and love of what you want to do. And one of the things that I thought was so cool is that the kids got to go on the field as part of this Field of Dreams night that they sponsor for Elliot's baseball team. And I watched these young guys, you know, they look like kids to me, obviously, because we're in our 40s, but these young guys in their 20s, and they totally understood the assignment with the kids. It was like, you've got a bunch of 9 and 10 year olds who are just looking at these guys as if they're gods. And, you know, they're handing out gum, they're talking to them, they're asking them what positions they play. And then the kids get to run out on the field with them. And it was just awesome to see a group of people, of especially like younger guys, who put aside all their ego and everything and just were like, hey, do you like baseball? So do I. Like, this is cool. You want a piece of gum? Like, let's play some catch. Let's, you know, let's pal around for 5 minutes before this game, when they could have literally just blown them off. They didn't owe them anything. They're not obligated to do anything like that. And it was just really cool to see these guys engage with kids like that just because they share a mutual love of the game of baseball. I thought that was really cool. So that was my awesome moment. It was very uplifting.
I would love to just see more of that nature in people in all environments. I feel like that would be beneficial for us as a collective whole. Because to me, it's odd. I feel like I've been having conversations with people recently who just... they have this sort of like this doomsday view of the world right now, and that people are just kind of spiraling in the wrong direction. I hope that's not the case, but when I hear stories like that, it's very uplifting, and I hope that people take that and think about how they can incorporate those values into their day-to-day activity.
I totally agree. It's cool.
And that's also one the of first time
can fall into that.
Yeah, you are. You can be very grumpy. That's the first time you've ever agreed with me. So I would like to kind of just pinpoint this moment in time.
That's fair.
Thank you. So cool story, yeah. Trav. Thank you for sharing that. That's cool.
All right, let's jump from that into a note from our sponsors. All right, cool. That ends that. Hey, you should call Dyson, Mr. Vacuum Cleaner Lover. I bet they would love to sponsor this.
I never thought about that. That's a great idea.
Reach out. I mean, you're literally the only person I know who loves their vacuum cleaner and loves actually vacuuming with it. So, you know, you're the ultimate.
Thank you. It's not like I like bring my vacuum cleaner into my like to sleep with it or anything. It's like don't turn me into that guy. I just love it. I love knowing that I have it.
Yeah. And I'm sure your hardwood floors and your carpeting and everything absolutely adore the fact that you take such good care. I'm not judging, I promise.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, so the next thing we have is Brian Hathaway. Tim, can you intro Brian for us, please?
Yeah, great dude. I've known Brian for a long time. He was a former neighbor of mine, you know, prior to us moving to East Brunswick. But Brian's just a really talented and just good guy. And I think you'll hear this in the interview with him. He's got a lot of experience in multiple different industries that he can speak to, which is really helpful. But is now working for a recruiter and helping to align people into roles that are, you know, best suited for them. So he's got a little bit of it updating it on kind of just the trends that are occurring there as well. I think we'll hear that from him, but, look forward to sharing Brian with everybody, and let's get it going. All right. We are here. It's good to welcome an esteemed guest, Mr. Brian Hathaway. Brian, thank you for joining us.
What's up, Tim? Hey, Trav. Good to meet you both on the podcast. Of course, Tim, old friends and neighbors.
Old friends, we go
back in the day.
Hey, listen, let's jump in. No doubt. I mean, we've had some wonderful experiences together. I've learned a heck of a lot from you. And, you know, as mentioned, this whole kind of season or segment of our podcast is about career. And, you know, you've had an interesting journey. Maybe you could share a little bit about, you know, sort of some of the career opportunities that you've explored, where you're at now, and what that has looked like for you.
The long and winding road is how you might want to describe my career, which probably could be best described as a jack of all trades. Literally trying different avenues and paths to see what would stick, what would keep me interested in life. And so I was in the original dot-com boom. That's what I found to be most interesting. And then when my equity in this startup went from being the purchase of a home to being literally my deposit for a rental in Manhattan, I knew it was probably time to try banking. So then I went into investment banking and private equity for a while, realized I'm not those guys. I was definitely the black sheep in a, you know, in the type of environment that you guys can pretty much assume is your typical banker. And then I went back into digital marketing. Really found that to be where my heart and love and what I do was in there for about a decade at various digital agencies in Manhattan. And then I got a call from a guy. He's like, hey, did you ever think about getting into recruiting? And because I had been in one form or another in sales all of my adult life, the thought of actually recruiting people in creative and marketing kind of fit, because people would always say to me, well, I don't really need your digital agency right now, but I'm kind of looking for someone who can do this. And through networking on LinkedIn and all of my various, you know, career paths, I would know people. And I'm like, oh, you should meet this person. And so without even realizing, I was helping people's career move forward. And then, you know, got into creative marketing staffing, which is what I'm in now for the last 3 years. And it's going pretty well.
Nice. How long did you say you were in banking before you realized like it was time to transition?
Oh, the first week.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
I was, so I was a young kid, late 20s, and I would come home and like just plop into bed and cry because I'm like, this can't be my life. This is not my career. Yeah. I don't like these people and I don't like what I'm doing. How can I get out? And it took me years and years and years to get out because what they call those golden handcuffs, I wasn't even making that much, but it's all, you know, I didn't know where else to go or what else to do. I think in retrospect, maybe I would have kind of stuck to my guns and at least pursued something that I was enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed doing. But in one career or another, it was always sort of sales related. So, you know, as long as I was kind of talking to people, I could kind of get by. And yeah, so I was literally in private equity. I was in investment banking. And at the investment bank, they did me the biggest favor, which was we were secretly being bought by another investment bank and they weren't telling anybody. And so one by one, they were letting everyone go. And the woman sitting across from me got called in by HR. Then HR came and grabbed her bag. And I go to the guy next to me. And I'm like, I think so-and-so just got fired. Ring, ring, hello. Brian, can you come into the conference room? I'm like, this is not good. So I walk in. I open up one of those sliding doors to those massively long investment banking tables. And I look around and I said, this doesn't look good. And they're like, well, unfortunately, Brian, dibba-da-boo. And then they perp walk you to the elevator and out the building because they don't want you touching people's you know, access to their money. So I remember calling my wife and saying, guess what? I just got laid off and I'm going back to digital marketing. She's like, all right, as long as it takes, let's do it.
Awesome. That's great. You have that support system too.
It helped for sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know,
oh, no, that's great. You know, that feeling of being kind of originally when you were talking about banking and being stuck in something that you really knew wasn't a fit. That's the same way I feel about doing this podcast with Trav.
It's tough, you know, it's like you're stuck in it, but you're just going to make the best of it. Right.
That's right.
Exactly. That's why I'm trying to do that.
He actually cries a lot. He tells me it's fine. I get
Brian,
it.
Tell us a little bit more about
you just plop into bed.
Listen, I know you and everything that you're saying, it totally resonates with me. You're an incredible people person and an incredible connector. So let's talk a little bit more about your current role and how you leverage those skills to do your job well. Can you speak to that?
It was kind of a watershed moment for me when this recruiter called me and asked, you know, have you ever considered recruiting? And at the time I hadn't, but then the more we end up speaking for about an hour, I realized I've been doing this forever. I was always a networker. I was always putting people in touch with one another. Often that would help them with their career. And I never asked for anything in return. I said, well, if I was already doing it, why don't I just get paid to do it? And here I am in the Flatiron District of Manhattan, kind of helping people with either creative roles or marketing roles. You know, find their place in a lot of different companies that we service. Yeah.
That's great.
It's awesome. And can you speak to some of the trends that you're seeing right now? You know, for people who are looking for jobs, maybe in those industries.
There's a phrase that everyone should learn and live by, which is your network is your net worth. And that is probably one of your surest paths to success in your career is rely on people you know, and it may not be someone you know directly, but maybe it's someone that's connected to someone you know. So put yourself out there on LinkedIn, ask for help, mention what you're looking for. LinkedIn is the place typically, but you know, use your own personal network in real life as well. But one trend I'm seeing since COVID is that we're much more in a hybrid work environment, right? Both you gentlemen are at home. I happen to be in the city, but only 3 days a week. That used to be a 5 day per week situation. Then, you know, during COVID and after COVID, most companies in the 90 percentile is a hybrid work environment where you're in the office some days, you're working from home in other days. It also broadens the scope for people. They could be working remotely and for many companies wherever they live. And that's probably the biggest trend I've seen, particularly since COVID.
I think that's a great point and something that I didn't, when I was sort of in my searching process, I didn't think about the fact that I could be working for companies that weren't necessarily geographically close to me, right? That I could expand my perspective outside of my close network. That was hard for me to really wrap my head around.
Yeah, and it, you know, is probably a good reason why your nickname is Mr. Worldwide. You know, you can work anywhere.
I thought that one. I forgot about that. You are correct. Yes, that's true. Brian, we have only a few minutes left. Oh, thank you. Hey, listen, I know that in addition to your work, you also are a published author. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, your life outside of work and how you kind of feed some of the stuff that helps keep you moving.
During that very dark period of my life of investment banking and private equity and those golden handcuffs, my wife at the time, I just wanted a creative outlet. And I credit my wife for buying that script writing software back in the day. This is a long time ago because I did some acting. She's from a musical theater world. She also acted a ton. And I just wanted some sort of creative outlet. And she's like, well, here, go. And so what I ended up doing was writing a screenplay for an animated feature film and pitched it around, didn't get bought. So then I thought, well, why don't I just adapt it into a novel? There's my blueprint right there. Here's the story. Let me turn it into a book. It was published back in November, self-published. I, you know, pitched around to agents, but being new to writing, I don't think it was good enough for agents at the time. And then it was too late. Once you pitch an agent, they're like, no, you already pitched me once. Yeah. So I just worked on it, made it as good as it can be, and then published it myself. But then during COVID, I've also written another novel, and an agent has agreed to start working with me next month. And we'll start sending it to publishers. And I'm just now finishing up an 8-part TV series based on the novel, and we'll kind of do a simultaneous pitch out there. And honestly, it's just because we all have hobbies, right? Mine just happens to be writing about superhero dogs or stand-up comedians or what have you.
That's great. What's the name of your first book?
It's called Hope for the Hounds. It's more of a middle grade urban fantasy action adventure, and maybe inspired a bit by my daughter. She's 11 now, and she has a strong resemblance to the main character, Hope, on the cover of the book. And she basically can speak telepathically with dogs, and which exposes their superpowers in a society in the future where they're part of society in terms of like being members of society and doing work like delivering mail and delivering food and things like that. Their superpowers start to be exposed a little bit, and there's a evil scientist who wants to steal these superpowers, put them in humans and create like X-Men type people. And Hope takes down the bad guys with her little ragtag team of dogs.
That's awesome.
And it's fun. It's a my daughter.
It's a great book. I read the book. It's available on Amazon. It's a great book, so I highly recommend it.
That's awesome.
Well, appreciate the note, Mr. Worldwide.
We'll put a link to it in our We'll put a link to it in the show notes. Cool. For sure.
I have to caveat
Tim's compliment a little bit though, because we do have a running theme that Tim can barely read. So, you know, we'll have to look at the other reviews and make sure.
Exactly. Yeah. He would text me sometimes. He's like, what does this word mean? And, you know, but we've got through it and he still enjoyed the book. So
it only took me 3 years to read this book. Yeah, need a lot of help. Listen, Brian, well, you're an awesome dude. What's that? Well spent years is right. So, listen, I have been enriched by knowing Brian. He's an amazing guy. I know that he's doing amazing work, you know, helping people during very difficult times in their lives often, right? These career transitions are huge moments for anyone. So, Brian, I think it's great that people have access to someone who's as, you know, kind-hearted and wise as you. And I really celebrate that. So that's an awesome thing.
It's a vulnerable time when you're looking for work. It also defines kind of often what we think of ourselves, especially as men. It's like, you know, sometimes you define your worth and value by whatever kind of work you're doing. So, look, I've been there too, which is why I appreciate what I'm doing now, helping people move their careers forward. And while I'm talking about it, I feel like maybe this name for your podcast could be TNT.
That's been pitched. I like it. I like it.
I like TNT. Yeah, it's explosive.
It is.
Yeah, it's explosive.
Oh. Where were you 4 months ago?
That's right.
Wow. That's so much better than anything we've thought of.
Always do that.
I love it. That's true.
I doubt that. I'm just spitballing here.
I love it.
I like it.
I love it. All right, cool. Well, thank you, Brian, for joining us today and sharing.
Hang on, Tim.
Excuse me.
Yeah, dude, we got to do the impact question, Tim. Come on.
My bad. Hit it, Trev.
Yeah. All right, so I know that this is a little bit heavy, but feel free to take it wherever you want. And we ask every guest that we have, name one experience that has had a profound impact on the person you are today.
Would it be cliche to say when I met my wife? She was instrumental in a lot of developmental moments in my life. She's the one that handed the script writing software to me. I didn't buy it. She went out and gave it to me for my birthday. And she's like, all right, you want to be creative? Be creative. And then even before that, when I didn't really even know what to write, she bought me the book, The Artist's Way by Julie Cameron. And I worked through that. And sure enough, through the process of doing those exercises, I had a very powerful dream that's still in the book. Actually on page 37 of my book. And you know, going forward, recently last fall, she and this was when I was self-publishing my book and then working very hard just in my day job, and she kind of came to me one morning. She's like, I don't know if you're okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm really busy, I'm doing all this and all of that. And she's like, no, I think you need to go to the doctor. And I'm one of those guys that doesn't even have one of those like primary care physicians. So I took her advice and went to the doctor. It turns out I was like, I had zero B12 in me. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And the doctor's well, like, you're irritable. You fall asleep because you're exhausted all the time and you have trouble focusing. I'm like, check, check, check. So now I'm on B12 shots. So if it wasn't for my wife agreeing to date me in the very beginning, when she told me later on, she would mention to her friends, he is a lot of fun, not boyfriend material. I don't think there's a lot going on upstairs. That was her assessment back then. But you know what? Never give up, fellas. And I kept asking around. I wore her down. And honestly, she's been part of every good moment of my life, and I credit her for a lot.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Brian. We really appreciate it. That's awesome insight on so many levels.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for joining us. And never give up. Never give up. Yes. So cool. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. See ya.
See ya.
All right, so there was Brian Hathaway. We thank him for that. That was very insightful, very cool. We might actually have to have him back on because I feel like we could delve into some other stuff with him a little bit deeper just in terms of transitions and so forth. So I could tell he was a wealth of knowledge.
I agree with you.
Tim, this is the part of all four podcasts that we've done so far where I cringe a little bit in asking, but I do want to know what's going on with Tim's dog therapy corner.
I also cringe. I do, however, you know, I feel like maybe I'm actually getting better and maybe this podcast is helping me. Which is really interesting to say. Again, I take very good care of my dog. What I'm starting to experience, however, is a bit more compassion for my dog, right? I'm sort of starting to feel like I just feel a little bit different about her. Let me say that, and I'm going to leave it at that for the time being. My folks were visiting us recently, and they brought their two dogs with them, and I think my mom or my dad, I don't know which one, kept saying like, "Man, I wish that Tim were nicer, were played more with his dog, right?" And so maybe I'm going to work on that, playing more with her. But when you play with her, she just gets really crazy. So I'll work on that. It's okay. Like, things between Abby and I right now are okay. The kids started walking her more. So that's been very helpful, I think, for them and me, that she's not relying on me all the time. But, you know, our relationship is pretty stable right now. I think it could improve, and I'm going to keep working on it.
I like it. This is the optimism that you keep talking about. It's refreshing.
Thank you.
All right. Well, at some point we're going to introduce some other segments and so forth. But for now, I think that does it for episode 104. Unless you've got something else, some other zingers.
No, great show, a lot of fun, and you know, thanks for your time. It's always fun to share this with you, Trev.
Absolutely, I agree. All right, there we go. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Tim and Travis on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age is quite the ride, finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind, funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday, making paths along the way. Middle age. Middle age mayhem, breaking free, finding out who we can be. Laughing, learning all the time, Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan, older, wiser, still we stand. Navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs and cheers. Finding out who we can be, laughing, learning all the time, Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan, older, wiser, still we stand. Navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs and cheers. Middle age, enjoying the fun, middle age has just begun. Tim and Travis lead the way, every episode will slay.
That is definitely going in the outtakes.
Yeah, thank you. Trying to bank a few episodes, and then Trev got—he fled the country for a short period of time. So we had.
That sounds like a whole other podcast.
It is. Yeah, yeah. That's the other one I'm doing.
Oh, he jumped off.
All right, he jumped off. He gave us the heart out.
I mean, I guess that may work for people who are just listening.